Greetings, and welcome back to another episode of Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley. I'm a habit change coach and a holistic therapist, and I host this podcast show. We are all about helping you turn around habits that are self-defeating, that create problems for yourself and others. And that includes the habit of how you deal with someone else who has a problem habit. This show is for you, no matter where you are on your journey. And it may be that you're right at the start and you're not sure what to do about your situation. Or it may be that you've gotten some good start and you've made some progress and you could use some support for keeping yourself on track. This show's also for you if you care about somebody else whose habit is problematic, not just for you, but for themselves and for other people. And also if you've really reached a place in your own healing journey where just getting reinforcement, reminding yourself about what was old and how you've created the new, this show is also for you. One thing this show is not about, and it's not about any specific habit, and that's because all habits have common themes, and that includes some habits that are usually hidden from view. Those are ways that we all engage in repeating behavior that don't serve us. So here in this show, we have a holistic perspective, and sometimes we will address specific habits, but really what we're looking for is what's underneath. What do they have in common that everybody who has a problem habit can deal with? And in every episode, you'll have an opportunity to practice new behaviors and some skills that I've learned and that I pass on to my clients, with clients in my private practice, and then also now in this podcast where I can reach more people, which is really great. Last time, we talked about the shadow and how the shadow is that part of us where we're hiding out from ourselves and it gets in the way of recognizing our own patterns. One solution is to develop a deep agreement of trust with at least one other person, a person you feel safe with, who you can give permission to or to invite to take your inventory. And that means giving you feedback about what they think is going on with you and why. And then they give you the same permission back. We'll discuss the benefits of this kind of agreement today, especially since taking someone's inventory when you haven't been invited to do so is actually an unhealthy habit. So you want to make a distinction between those two. And before we go there, let's do our habits into health practice. And this is where we take a few moments for an exercise that supports you in slowing down and connecting with yourself. It's good for not only letting you take a break from the stress of the day, but it also helps you focus more effectively. Lately, I've been reminding everyone that this is something that's literal, that the practice that we do is not just a practice in slowing down. It really is intended to increase your awareness of the subtle patterns that you have in yourself. And that's a start in taking charge of your own changes. I like to say the more you give to this practice, the more it gives back to you. And if you have been doing this for a while with us, you probably know what I mean. Okay, so for today, we're going to start by being attentive to what you call your thoughts. And that's not so much what you're thinking, but to bring your awareness to the movement of how your thoughts shift, and they change what the flow of the energy is. Now, you might be a person who sees thoughts, like sees words, just as if you were reading. Or you might have an auditory process where you hear yourself thinking. You hear your own voice. Or you might experience your thoughts as pictures or images. It's very common that we experience thoughts as memories or making associations, which is connections between different memories. You could think of them as links between different experiences. The brain makes those connections. And as you consider these options, these possibilities for how you think and what the movement is, just let your attention shift very subtly to where you experience yourself. As you do this activity, this really common activity that you call thinking. And you might experience this question as kind of unusual. And that would not be uncommon, because most of the time when we focus on our thinking, we focus on the content. And most of the time, we don't learn to be attentive to where our thinking occurs. And it might not be easy to answer that question. Well, where am I thinking? Most of the time, we assume that thinking is going on behind our eyes and between our ears, in that part of us that we call the brain, or a particular part of our brain. But it turns out that thinking doesn't just happen in the brain. It happens in electrical signals in the brain and everywhere else. So, as you're thinking, and as you're listening to my voice, just start to notice where you experience yourself. And you can always start by deliberately putting your attention around your eyes, between your eyes and the bridge between your eyes, above your eyes and your forehead, behind your eyes. Or you could notice what happens energetically around your ears, inside your ears, between your ears, just as you listen to my voice. You could practice, try this out, without speaking out loud. Say something to yourself and be attentive to what happens with your lips, what your experience is inside your mouth, with your tongue, and down into your throat. If this is the first time that you've attempted this kind of exercise, you might be perplexed, and that's okay. What we're going to be doing over the next few episodes is practicing this one little bit at a time, because I've found that there's real value in doing an exercise over and over. It'll be slightly different each time, but the idea is to acclimate yourself to a new way of being with yourself. Over time, with practice, you can become adept at recognizing the physiological experience of thinking. And that's true whether you practice it very briefly or for many minutes. And when you do that, you are taking charge of your own rhythm and your own activity. It is a practice. And practice creates progress, right? One of the things that I like to say in Habits into Health is that you can let the body lead so your mind doesn't have to. In so much of our world today, we lead from the mind, and so we've come to believe that what we think leads the way. And through the Habits into Health process, you can begin to challenge that mindset and create a bigger set, an experience set. Because so many habits occur beneath the level of your mind. They happen before thought. And that's why we want to begin to build a bridge between what you think and who you really are. Now, if you find this useful, or if you're enriched by this, or if somehow this little exercise has impacted your experience, you can find out more. This is the Habits into Health approach. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I host this show and all of the Habits into Health programs. I want to let you know, I've been promising this for the last few episodes, but I'm really excited to tell you that my new ebook is out. It's called Do You Have a Habit, or Does Your Habit Have You? And it includes 5 warning signs that you're stuck and some supportive practices that you can do about it. If you want to get the ebook, it's easy. Just go to habitsintohealth.com. And on the right sidebar, you'll see a box about the ebook. And you just give me your name and email address, and I'll send it your way. That's habits, H-A-B-I-T-S, into, spelled out, I-N-T-O, health, H-E-A-L-T-H.com. And if you've listened before, you know that you can visit the podcast page on the website to listen to more podcasts like this one. Or, if you'd rather, you can download the podcast on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search for Habits into Health. I also post the podcast on Facebook, along with other support for making your changes. So you can come to facebook.com habits.into.health. And you'll get posts when the episodes are published. My gifts to the universe right now are this podcast and the ebook, and both of them introduce you to the Habits into Health perspective. Here's some other options for in-person contact. So I have some reminders about events coming up in the San Francisco Bay Area, where I work and live. On Tuesday, February 18th, 2014, is this month's one-hour retreat for men and women who want to experience the Habits into Health practices in person and more deeply. On Saturday, February 22nd, I'll be talking about the inner game for habit change at a very special Women's Empowerment Summit in Walnut Creek, California. That's in the Bay Area, too. If you want to know more, you can reach me through the contact page at habitsintohealth.com, and I'll make sure that you get the information. And now that the ebook project is finished, this year I'll be speaking more both at live events and online. If you're interested in my teleseminar that's coming up in May, click the link on the contact me page at habitsintohealth.com, and I'll make sure to let you know about it. I'll also be doing some workshops on the 5 steps to habit change coming up in the spring. I haven't set those dates yet. Okay, so let's go into our topic for today. We're still on a general topic of communications in your relationships, using the concept of keeping your side of the street clean. I kind of like that concept. As you probably can tell if you've been listening in, we've been doing this for a bunch of weeks here. It speaks to a lot of situations around relationships. Last time we talked about the shadow, and that's when we're hiding from ourselves. And this week, we're going to get some help in a specific kind of way. It's called invited inventory. It's a concept that I learned about from the 12-step programs. And a variation of it happens in coaching and therapy relationships, too. First, a review. Keeping your own side of the street clean means you act in integrity in your relationships, even if other people don't act in integrity with you. You take the high road, and that takes discipline. And boy, there's lots of great rewards for that. Here are some examples. You don't get down in the dirt with someone who's throwing dirt at you. It could be physical, such as removing yourself from a situation where there's a possibility of being hit, punched, grabbed, or thrown around. Fights happen in public places when people don't have the courage to walk away. It also can be verbal. Have you ever been in a situation where someone is yelling, either at you or about something else? I certainly have. I know it's no fun, but when that happens, do you walk away? And if you choose to not walk away, can you keep yourself from yelling back, which only adds flame to the fire? I can tell you from personal experience, you can feel really good about yourself by keeping your own head clear when someone else can't. Another example, it doesn't have to involve energy directed at you. It could be refusing to gossip when someone else starts talking about a third person. Change the subject or walk away or be very clear and direct that you don't want to gossip. Keeping your side of the street clean also means keeping the commitments you've made. If you've agreed to take out the trash, you take out the trash, whether you want to in the moment. And if you notice that you're not wanting to do this very much, well, you initiate a renegotiation of agreements rather than just blowing off what you've agreed to. And another part of the street cleaning metaphor is that you agree to not take other people's inventory. And what does that mean exactly? Well, basically, you make a decision to accept people for who they are and where they are in your lives, and you refrain from evaluating their decisions, their words, and their actions. Evaluating includes thinking you know why they're doing what they're doing, And it can also include making sure that they know that you know. Have you ever had somebody do that? I knew somebody I was very fond of and I'd known for a long time. But I started to notice that this person had a habit of telling me what I was thinking and why. Have you ever experienced this? Well, the easy way out is to return fire, to push back, to get defensive, or to act out in irritation or anger. And that's so common, it's understandable. It's a lot harder to not do that and to seek understanding as well as communicating your feelings. So you can see that keeping your side of the street clean is a tall order because each of us can fall into traps to make things messy. I know in my situation, I didn't handle it as well as I would have liked to. I was able to keep from returning fire, but I wasn't quite on the money in communicating my boundary that it wasn't okay to be spoken to that way. I reinforced what I needed to do, and I learned something new about what to do. Okay, so you're not perfect. Neither am I. And that means that most likely, your side of the street isn't perfectly clean. Same is true for me. We've all got stuff, and we all can get caught up in the moment and become reactive, make mistakes, and get messy on our side of the street. So this is not about perfection. Far from it. Since that's the case, it's really great to have at least one or two people in our lives who we trust with our lives and they trust us. And actually, we don't just trust each other with our lives, we trust each other with our hearts. If you're blessed to have someone like this in your life, that means you feel totally safe with them and they feel safe with you. You both know that your love for each other is so strong that neither of you would do anything to breach that trust. Under these circumstances, it then becomes safe to invite them to take your inventory. And this is the only circumstance that I can think of where it's okay for you to give somebody feedback about what you think is going on with them. There are two ways this usually works. If you're in a highly loving and trusting relationship, then you might give each other permission for invited inventory in general. And that means you will hear their input when they offer it, and you'll offer yours the same way. You agree that if it hurts, you say it hurts, and you agree to not take that personally and to work things through. The other way is that you agree to ask the other person if you can give them feedback, or you ask them for feedback, and you agree to hear each other out. My experience with one friend is that because we care about each other, we tend to have an expectation of universal permission, that first example, but we also tend to enter softly by asking ahead if it's okay to offer feedback. It's a really kind way to approach it. So if you have that kind of friend, consider inviting them to be in this kind of relationship with you. Maybe you recognize that that's already happened by default. It can be a really good thing to make that explicit. Next time, I'll talk about options if you don't happen to have anyone in your life whom you trust to care enough about you. There are solutions for you. So tune in for next week's episode. I'm signing off for now, and I want to remind you, if you have a habit that's creating problems for you, or if someone you know has a problem habit, then come to habitsintohealth.com to request my free ebook. It can help you clarify the warning signs and the issues that you're dealing with and give you some ideas about some things you can do. You can also find other podcasts, articles, and resources on the website. I do like to remind you to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm here to help you stop feeling out of control over those unhealthy habits and wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and start creating healthier possibilities for your future. I know that you can stop feeling frustrated and worried about your self-defeating habits and start creating a life where you are in charge of them rather than the other way around. Thanks so much for joining me.